So my co-presenters have made this easy on me because we've actually all found very similar findings. My study is barriers to outpatient care resulting in emergency department utilization, and different from my colleagues, I have no relationships to disclose first. Different from my colleagues, this study was done in one institution, Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So the introduction, as you've heard now three times, we all have the same idea. The university, in the emergency department in the U.S., our primary mission is to provide life-saving care to anyone at any time. And after Congress passed what is now EMTALA, the Emergency Medicine Treatment and Active Labor Act, the ED became known as the safety net of safety nets, and President Bush is famously known for saying, I don't know why everyone says there's a problem with healthcare in the United States. If someone needs a doctor, they can go to the nearest emergency department. That we are a one-stop shop. We provide a full range of ancillary care as well as diagnostics and, of course, specialty services, but things such as social workers and psychiatric care are part of what we do. The traditional thinking has been that most of the ED use has been for the medically uninsured or underinsured, but data is coming out that that's actually not the case, as my colleagues have presented. So just in the spirit of this conference, a quick glimpse at the healthography of the setting of our study, which was, again, Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in Philadelphia. In Pennsylvania, the population, total population of the state is 12.76 million. 57% of these are between the ages of 18 and 65. 13.1% considered below the federal poverty line, and 12% uninsured. In the city of Philadelphia, we have 1.55 million, and 65% of these are between the ages of 18 and 65. Double the state level at 26.2% are considered below the federal poverty line, and 14.1% are uninsured. So Jefferson is a tertiary care referral center, but our community catchment makes up a population of about 350,000, or 23% of the city population, and our catchment footprint includes 15 zip codes in the city. So the specific aims of this study were to elucidate medical decision-making of those presented to the ED for non-urgent care. The design was a single round, individually administered cross-sectional categorical and Likert scale survey. And Jefferson is, like I said, an urban tertiary care teaching hospital. It's a level one trauma center, has an annual census of 63,000. Patients presenting through triage, so all walk-in patients, who were designated an emergency severity index score of threes, fours, and fives, were potentially included in the study. Excluded were levels ones and twos, which are acute and emergent, and anybody presenting via EMS or the ambulance, regardless of what their ESI was deemed. Statistical analysis was used. We used linear and multivariate logistic regression. So we looked at three sets of variables. Attribute-independent variables were demographics, such as gender, age, race, and residence, as well as time of day presenting to the emergency department and the duration of symptoms. The active independent variables were access to a primary care physician, access to a specialist, and having health insurance. And the dependent variables were calling a doctor before coming to the emergency department, a reported preference for ED versus regular doctor, factors named as barriers to primary care access, and frequent ED visits. So our results, we had a total, our study sample was 274. So it's kind of nice, our little study is pretty much the same as all of the national data studies that our presenters have shown today. 61% were female, 39% were male. 46% were African-American, black, and followed by 41% white, with a smaller proportion of other races. The average age of the study cohort was 42.1. 32% were between the ages of 18 and 30 years old. The next largest group were between the ages of 50 and 59. And the other decade chunks were pretty much equally represented. So our results, 73% of our study cohort had reportedly had a primary care physician. 41% also had at least one specialist and often had two. And 80% had insurance. Of these, only 24% called their primary care physician or their specialist before coming to the emergency department. 46% spoke only with a secretary. 27% were able to speak to a physician directly. And of these, 22% were offered a same-day appointment, but 75% were advised to go to the emergency department. Patients, the reported factors in seeking care in the emergency department, 43 said they thought there was a higher quality of care in the emergency department. 36% said both the convenience and ease of the emergency department was important, as well as the severity of their problem was an important factor in deciding to come to the ED. Another 31% reported that the ability to have tests, treatment, and a diagnosis all at the same time was an important factor in their choosing to come to the emergency department. The patients in the study who reported the factors that they reported as difficult to access their primary care physician. The majority at 48% reported it was hard to schedule an appointment. 21% reported that there were no evening or weekend hours, and 10% knew that they would be advised to go to the ED anyway, so they just came. That said, 85% would have preferred to see their primary physician for a same-day appointment, and 78% would have preferred a walk-in appointment. So our analysis showed statistically significant findings, predictors of not seeking out primary care or a physician was presentation to the ED outside of office hours, between the hours of 5 p.m. and 9 a.m., but also more specifically between the hours of 1 a.m. and 9 a.m. A shorter duration of symptoms, and their consideration of the convenience and ease of the emergency department and their own severity of symptoms. So the shorter duration, higher severity tended to come to the emergency department. Predictors of high ED utilization, which is considered by definition three or more ED visits in the previous 12 months, having been seen in the ED for the same problem, same findings as national studies, and the idea of having tests, treatment, diagnoses all at the same time before you go home, both were found to be predictive of coming more often to the ED or having three or more visits. So we did have some limitations. This was ultimately a convenience sample of patients waiting to be seen, so not randomized. There's a potential recall bias. One of the biggest problems we had is patients couldn't identify what their insurance was. So we can't parse out who was privately insured, who was publicly insured. It ended up just being a binary yes/no insurance. This was really just quantitative data versus qualitative data. We couldn't get a lot of detail beyond what we included, and we excluded potentially high-risk populations, so non-English speakers and children. So, as my colleagues have talked about, there's been multiple studies, obviously under ACA, access to outpatient care is of utmost importance. This study highlights findings that other studies have found as well. The specific patient factors is that there is a higher quality of care in the emergency department. And that ranges from, as Dr. Zinn mentioned, just feeling that they don't get the same level of attention at their primary care, but also the perception that certain diagnostics, getting a chest x-ray or a CAT scan automatically is a higher level of care, whether that is actually warranted. Our patients definitely showed what other national studies have shown of a learned behavior. If they've tried to go to their doctor in an acute phase and been told to go to the ED, they stop doing that and then just come straight to the emergency department. And their own perception of illness severity, they felt the shorter duration, higher severity that they warrant, they met the definition of an emergency. And this may or may not be due to health literacy. Ultimately, if you come in, you think you have a pneumonia. A doctor thinks you maybe have pneumonia, but the diagnostics show that you don't have a pneumonia. Doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't warranted. So on the other flip side are the primary care factors. So this has been shown, Dr. Zinn mentioned, and multiple studies have shown, the lack of after-hours or same-day appointments does bump everyone into the emergency department. Difficult access to a physician. You know, what we found was that most of the patients who did try and call only spoke to a secretary, and most of them didn't even speak to a triage type of nurse. So especially in a city like Philadelphia that has a high litigation rate, the easiest thing is to say, just go to the emergency department, knowing that however long the wait, they would be seen that day. We found over time that in the role of the primary care physician, they're becoming increasingly more reliant on complex ED workups. So they may or may not speak to the patient and sort of decide they actually need more things that they can be offered in an outpatient setting. And this is sort of also sort of feeding into them more easily or more readily saying go to the emergency department. And as we know, there's a current shortage of primary care. There's a predictable increased shortage as ACA rolls out. Data from Massachusetts has shown actually increased ED visits after people get insurance because it's hard to get into the system, but now you actually have insurance coverage and you feel that you need to see a doctor. The discussions on costs of ED visits, in looking at a silo, data has shown it is definitely more expensive than a primary care visit. But ultimately, emergency care has been shown to decrease inpatient visits, which are 10 to 30 times more expensive than an ED visit itself. So the complex workups that happen in the ED, while maybe more expensive, are definitely less expensive than a primary admitting a patient for the same workup. So in conclusion, the ED is a safety net. And while we always thought it was really for the medically underserved, we're finding that the medically served are just as much using it as a safety net for the individual, as well as the system. The primary care, the lack of primary care or the gaps in primary care really rely on the fact that the ED will be able to see any patient at any time. That said, strategies to reduce ED visits by cost sharing, so increasing patient copays or increasing the financial burden of the ED visit, or others that have been proposed by state-level Medicaid of not reimbursing the emergency department for what is deemed primary care treatable, punishes both the patient and the ED for a systems-based issue that are out of both of their control. This is also likely to impact vulnerable populations. A higher copay or increased cost sharing would deter low-income patients as well as non-English speakers to come to the emergency department. They have less likely able to navigate the system. So in conclusion, what we really need are innovative, patient-centered, but systems-based changes. At Jefferson, we are working on telehealth initiatives, again, mainly for those who have primary care, who have insurance, to be able to maybe Skype with their doctor and have a triage visit that way. We also are working on strengthening our transitions of care for all of the patients who we see in the emergency department, plugging them into at least the Jefferson system. All of this is needed. That said, as policy changes continue, the vital role of the emergency department can't be overlooked. Thank you.